You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at MegiddoRadio.com. That's MegiddoRadio.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 26th of May, 2018. Thank you all for tuning in. Apologies, this is the first program in a few weeks. The last program was Conrad Mbewe. And long story short, basically I was editing the video for Megiddo TV. It took quite a while actually for Megiddo TV, that Megiddo TV episode, to get out. But I was noticing problems with my computer and different things and security issues. Long story short, a few upgrades later, I'm now on Windows 10. And I've replaced the video card, a lot of things, and I don't even know if I've changed the right things. Please keep that in your prayers. And, I was apprehensive of moving to Windows 10, and I kind of started to realize why. Yes, my phone being turned off there. Now, on tonight's program, I wasn't even sure if I'd be able to do a program today. It's a bit of a rush job because I was up late last night trying to get I'm not even sure if the computer is ready completely. This is going to be an audio only. Hopefully the TV element of the program will be back next weekend. I'm hoping to get it programmed on Tuesday as well. But I'm not making any promises. I felt I really needed to talk about the result, the very sad result, which is being celebrated at Dublin Castle right now. This is, of course, yesterday's referendum on the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution in the Republic of Ireland, where I live. And the yes side, for those who are not aware, was for repealing the Eighth Amendment, which guaranteed the right to life for the mother and the baby, the unborn baby in the womb. So the yes, I wanted to repeal that in order to, well, allow abortion, of course. So the yes side is the pro-abortion side, or the pro-choice, quote-unquote. It's basically a euphemism, unfortunately, for something quite different. It's amazing that that is what, when people talk about liberty, they socialists and leftists, they want liberty, it just seems, in that one area alone. The ability or the right to kill your own child under a certain age. But I digress, we'll get into that in a second. And then the no side, which was basically saying, let's keep the Eighth Amendment. It would have been hashtag Save the Eighth around Twitter and all this kind of stuff. And I did a short video with Mark Fitzpatrick of Ireland Reformed Baptist Church. And he was speaking on it. I was going to do something with myself in front of the camera, but I didn't have enough time really to do it. And I was just, it was quick, but hopefully it was a blessing to some people. So that is on YouTube, and I don't know if it's on megiddofilms.org either. I haven't updated that site in a while. And that basically talks about, and I looked at Anthony Levitino. Anthony Levitino is a former abortionist, performed many abortions, and he talked about the horror of first trimester, second trimester abortions. I haven't looked at the other ones. I mean, the second trimester is bad enough. And especially I got Mark on that video, Mark Fitzpatrick, who's the minister in Ireland Reformed Baptist Church. And like, he's done a lot of research on this over the years. And he was on Revelation TV recently, did a great job. You can go to the Ireland Reformed Baptist Church page. If you just type in Aaron, A-R-A-N-N, Reformed Baptist Church in Dublin, into YouTube, it should pop up. And his appearance, recent appearance on Revelation TV, was really, really good. And like he's really good on that topic. I'm hoping to do another project, a longer project in the future on abortion. I was saying, regardless of the result, even if the result was favorable, and for those of you not aware of the result is something like yes, 67%, no, 33%, something like that. I mean, as of the recording of this video, of the recording of this program, yeah, I told, like, it was up really late last night trying to fix the computer. I'm still not 100% sure that it's fixed. I digress. Anyway, but so far, 66.4% yes, 33.6% no. You know, obviously, sick anybody with a conscience, really, sick to your stomach. Not many places voted no. The Donegal voted no by a small margin. And I think, yeah, by and large, pretty unanimous across the country to this allowing this great evil to come upon this island. It's in one of very few countries in the world. I think there's only about 7 countries in the world that does not allow abortion. I think like Chile and Malta and a couple other countries like that. I don't know how to respond to it. It's murder. The yes side, if you look at if you've seen the posters were very much things like, there was no arguments. The closest thing to an argument was the more socialist groups like Together for Profit, not Together for Profit, but, People Before Profit, and they had, you know, the typical "Our Bodies, Our Choice" mantra on their poster, and also there was a quote-unquote very positive campaign done by Together for Yes, and they were very much just constantly "Yes for Care," and, you know, all these words like care, compassion, all this kind of stuff, and for women's lives. Yeah, but I mean, are you serious? You're going to argue for women's rights and all this kind of stuff? The ability to kill your own child, your own offspring. Oh, it's a fetus. It's not a human. What? That argument, that whole clump of cells argument, it's, number one, it's contrary to scripture, of course, but it's contrary to any kind of common sense, seen with a rudimentary first trimester ultrasound, in which you can get a heartbeat. I've seen the ultrasound of my two twin daughters at 7 weeks old, and there was two clear heartbeats at that point. Are you going to tell me that it is? No, in this case, it's like, oh, I need to have a uterus, according to some people, in order to have an opinion on this. Could you imagine if you... I mean, use this logic, right? The Nazis butchering or killing Jews, and you're saying, well, you need to be Aryan in order to have an opinion. Could you imagine if the posters going around Dublin and Ireland were... My Jews, my choice. Now, that's disgusting, yes. But it's, what's even worse about it, it is a small, defenseless child. Oh, it's a fetus. Fetus just means, it means offspring. And humans produce humans. But because people, unfortunately, suppress the truth and the righteousness, as Romans 1:18 talks about, They don't want to know about that. Babies are not off limit on the altar of convenience. Murder is being redefined here. Years ago, a couple of years ago, marriage was redefined. People were going, oh, look, things are fine after the marriage referendum from a couple of years ago. Well, what do you mean fine? You see, to a progressive, further and further degeneration of society and rebellion against God is seen as a good thing. I was more angry about this earlier on in the day, but the Lord is in control. There's a special heart. I mean, for two-thirds of the population, a huge majority, see no problem with a mother bringing their child to be killed by a man or a woman who has sworn the Hippocratic Oath and promised to protect life. Is there anything more disgusting than that? And what do? They're celebrating. They're crying. I mean, yay! We have the right to kill unborn children in the womb. It shows an incredible evil. I'll be honest, I can't even comprehend it. Even before I was a Christian, and the Lord gave me a new heart, new affections, to love righteousness. Because before that, I didn't. When I was young, I remember being fairly pro-life, but not really vocalizing it or anything like that. Then from about the age of 18, I was professing atheist for about 6 years. And I remember in that time being quite neutral towards it. But the fact that these people are crying and celebrating the fact that babies will be murdered now in this country. Babies will be murdered in this country. And you've got groups like Sinn Féin, for example, Sinn Féin IRA, you know, they basically, you know, have a long history of killing people on this island. And they're for the yes side. They have a new leader. And Mary Lou McDonald, who's the new leader of Sinn Féin, it was Gerry Adams before. I think there was one or two who dissented and they were disciplined. It is very hard for a politician now in the Republic of Ireland to be pro-life. Yeah. And I'm not saying Ireland was great 50 years ago or 100 years ago. It wasn't. And probably people are going to talk about the hypocrisy of the Roman Catholic Church to me. Yeah, I agree. The Roman Catholic Church is a disgusting institution. Does not change God's word. And anyway, the Roman Catholic Church is not a true church of Christ. I don't have time to get into this in this program, but if you go to MegaRadio.com, if you type in Roman Catholicism, I've done programs on that. And since the 16th century, it was once a Christian church. Many centuries ago, that apostatized from the truth and eventually was cut off by rejecting the gospel. Officially, in the Council of Trent, during the 16th century, rejecting justification by faith alone in Christ alone. They pronounced anathema on anybody who teaches this. Now we're going to look at, again, I was working really late last night on the computer, so I'm not going to try to keep this program as short as possible, but we're going to look at some of the arguments made by the pro-abortion side. And I just saw a picture there of Mary Lou McDonald, and they have a little signpost up saying "The North is next." Just this ominous. Yeah, it doesn't change. I mean, these groups that were once terrorizing and bombing are now, well, going after children. Everything in the name of equality and freedom and all this kind of stuff. It's a sham and it's a lie. Now, So unfortunately, they're celebrating that. We go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and righteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay. And then it talks about, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, because became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What this is talking about here is, and if you look at Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, the law of God's written in your heart. There are no atheists in a true sense. All people know that God is real. All people know because they got God's law written in their hearts and also from creation. They know that there is a God. They know they owe him obedience because of that law written in their hearts, and it's summarized in the Ten Commandments. That was since Adam and Eve. And no one is without excuse. No one. There's enough information in every single one of us to condemn us, but just not to save us, because we can't deduce from the law God written in our hearts. Of course, it is defaced because of the fall, but from the law God written in our hearts and from creation, we know that God is good. God is omnipresent, control of all things. There are things we can see. And we know that we've broken God's law. So how would you explain this? Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or withhold or repress the truth in unrighteousness. They fight against it because of the condition of their heart. They are in bondage to sin. They love sin. They fight for sin. And even babies are sacrificable, you could say, on the altar of convenience. Let's look at a few things here. Why do, now people talked about rape and problems, you know, to the woman and all this kind of stuff. A PubMed.org article, U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health, the NCBI. This is an abstract from a study from Why Do Women Have Abortions? Okay, a little bit old. This is back from 1988, but pretty similar to, it's probably even worse now in what the reasons are given. But it says here, most respondents to a survey of abortion in 1987 said that more than one factor had contributed to the decision to have an abortion. The main number of reasons was nearly four. I'm just not going to read all of this, but just the gist. Three quarters said that they're having a baby would interfere with work, school, or other responsibilities. About two-thirds said that they could not afford to have a child, and half of them said that they did not want to be a single parent and had relationship problems. So kill your child because it's going to interfere with work, school, and all this kind of stuff. Could you imagine if you did that with another human being outside of the womb? A multivariate analysis showed that young teenagers to be 32% more likely than women 18 or over to say that they were not mature enough to raise a child. And again, not mature enough to raise a child, give it up for abortion. You do not have to kill the child because of your promiscuous. Most people talk about rape and sexual assault. That is a tiny percent, probably like less than 1%. of the entire numbers of people who actually go for it from abortion, they use red herrings always for the case. Oh, but you've never been in the case. You don't have a uterus. Oh, you've never been... What? Do I have to be a Jew to be against the Holocaust? Or do I have to be a Nazi to tell them, oh, okay, don't kill 6 million of them? No, you wouldn't say that, would you? No, this is a human being. A pregnant woman was back in the Yoma bombing back in 1996, and I think it was a BBC report that said that a mother and her baby died during that bombing. A baby. Doctors, when you're treating a pregnant woman, if they are following the Hippocratic Oath, are to defend the life of two of them. There's two patients there. Pretty simple. It always ends up being about convenience. Planned Parenthood, one of the biggest abortion providers, and they keep saying it's healthcare. That is like saying, again, the extermination of the Jews is like hygiene practices. Okay? Yeah. Is that disgusting? Yeah. But calling abortion healthcare is also disgusting. And we're not talking about... And the Holocaust was disgusting. And I'm using that picture because there were so many people and people were horrified. And hopefully they continue to be horrified over that. But you have millions upon millions of small, tiny, defenseless babies in the womb being killed, in some cases ripped limb from limb, getting these kind of clamps and ripping their legs off. Seriously, this is what happens. Some of the questions that Planned Parenthood ask on their website, plannedparenthood.org. Am I ready to be a parent? Just say you're not ready to be a parent or whatever. Does murder become a viable option? Uh-huh. Would I consider adoption? You shouldn't be allowed to have any other option. The majority of women, if you look at the Twitter and the people who are, they live promiscuous lifestyles. Let's be honest. Crisis pregnancies don't happen in a vacuum. They're sleeping around. And then they get pregnant. And they wonder how that happened. Oh, you mean I can't just do whatever I want and there's going to be consequences? Yeah. Oh, okay. Because I remember when I went to briefly, and I wasn't a very good student back then, University College Cork, and one of the things that they were pushing first week, and it was a big joke apparently. Oh, 1 in 4 have an STD. Seriously. Do whatever you want. Do what thou wilt. Shall be the whole of the law. Just complete. Live as you wish. Don't tell me what to do. Oh, now there's a bit. Oh, don't tell me I can't kill the baby. It's so people can live in the way they please, do whatever they please, and have freedom. Not true freedom, but from sin, the Bible talks about, but freedom from any consequences of their actions. That's what this is all about. They're willing to kill. Some are willing to kill because for convenience. It's going to interrupt my career and all this kind of stuff. One of the questions Planned Parenthood asks on this website is, how would being a parent affect my career goals? What's it got to do with killing somebody? Could you imagine, right? Two people are going for a job. How would the other person being alive help my career goals? Well, you might say, okay, if the other person was out of the picture, then you could maybe get that promotion. because you're the only person available. Would you think that'd be a morally right and correct? No, you'd say that it was horrible. It's cold blood and murder in order to obtain something else. What else is this? Go to the websites, look at what they're saying. But they don't care. People do not care. You see the people on the Yes site who are crying. Oh, I got my freedom. Oh, they hate children often. They are a burden. Not a blessing to them, a burden. What else? Another study. This is from ScienceDirect.com. Looking at some statistics from Sweden back in 2009, United States 2004, United States 2008 to 2010. Reasons in these three studies, I'm not going to give the numbers exactly, but I'll just give some of the more prominent ones. Some of the reasons given was wants to postpone childbearing. Could you imagine, like, eh, I'm not ready to have my child yet, so I'm just going to kill this one. I mean, I'd have trouble doing that with a dog. Could you imagine, like, oh, here's a puppy and I kill it. Huh. Not that I'm comparing in any way, shape, or form. A human being creating God's image with an animal. But I'm just saying, I like animals and there's no natural affection here. Wants no more children. 47% of the study back in the United States in 2004 said they want no more children. Crisis pregnancy. Oh, I don't want any more children. I hate this baby and I don't want it. That's a problem. That's a death culture. Another reason given, not financially prepared. Oh, but you're financially prepared to spend a large sum. Actually, and sometimes in some of these places, if they go to Planned Parenthood, I don't know how much they pay exactly or whatever, but I mean, the women going to England to have their children killed, let's be honest what this is. If they give that reason, and it... Oh, anyway. Another reason given from this 2004 United States study, 54% interferes with future opportunities. Now, I'm saying numbers here, but sometimes it'd be more than one. It could be, you know, number of them. So it's like of the total, 55% partner-related. What does that mean? Pressure. And another significant reason, too young parents are at a subject to pregnancy. Again, why is this happening? Why are there crisis pregnancies? It's not that they'll never be... See, this is the thing. This goes right back to Oliver Kinsey's sexual revolution back in the 1940s, 1950s, sexuality in human male, sexuality in human female. And basically, this is the philosophy. Oh, well, they're doing it anyway. Might as well just make it legal. And that went right down to all sorts of practices that even included pedophilia. Now, that is verifiable in, I remember, I think it was in Sexuality in Human Male. I think it was Table 42. I'd have to recheck that again. I've done programs on Alfred Kinsey, A-L-F-R-E-D, Kinsey, K-N-I-K-I-N, man, I'm really bad today. S-E-Y, Alfred Kinsey, type that into beginningradio.com, and I've done a few programs on the sexual revolution. So, but the philosophy was this, and look, they went to sexual deviance, they went to prisons and all that, it was a complete fraud, not at all scientific, and his results could not be replicated. Couldn't be replicated. In other studies, they tried to do the same thing, and for example, the whole quote-unquote 10% of people being gay and all this kind of stuff, complete myth. It comes from Kinsey, okay? The number is anywhere, and it depends where you go, anything between less than 1% or possibly 3%. And a 3%, 4% is more being generous when you exclude older and younger people and all this kind of stuff. And it depends, you know, who are they asking these questions to? And I'm sure there's been an increase because of the corruption of morals in the society. You're going to have more homosexuals, but it's still a tiny, tiny number. And of that number, I did a program years ago as well on marriage equality, quote unquote. I think it's like episode number 155, 154, something like that. When I talked about it, there's a tiny percentage of those who are homosexuals actually interested in it. So the whole thing is based upon mythology, perception. Now, even if what they were saying is true, it doesn't make it right. But it's still based on a complete mythology. Now, the reasons seem to change a lot between, at least, I mean, there was a number of women reported. It's about 1,000, so. But in a later study in the United States in 2008 to 2010, the reasons kind of seemed to shift a little bit. It wasn't things like too young, partner-related stayed around the same percentage. Lower percent talked about interfering with future opportunities. Not financially prepared is about the same percent. But then new things popped in, like risk to maternal fetal health. Oh, yeah, there's a risk to the fetus, the baby. Let's kill it. Uh-huh. When people talk about safe and legal abortions, yeah, in order for an abortion to be successful, it's, by definition, lethal. Not safe, not at all. Not the right time to have a baby. This is a percent, you know. Can you imagine, like, you know, it's not the right time. Not emotionally or mentally prepared. Want a better life for the baby than she could be provide. That's 12%. And then there's a few others. 4% in this study said they don't want a baby or place a baby for adoption. You know, it's just like, they're the reasons. Did it sound altruistic or did it sound selfish? And I remember a few times when I challenged people on this, I said, okay, why? Because the yes side is just purely like, oh, the no side, they're all just lying and all this kind of stuff. And the babies, oh, and the posters, oh, it's misleading. Why is it misleading? Oh, well, it's not true. Why? Oh, I don't know. And none of these people have medical backgrounds. But this is a moral issue. This is a blight on any country that allows this. And you are supporting murder of the unborn. If you are giving your thumbs up or allowing or providing or facilitating in any way, you are participating in the sin. If you know, for example, I'll give you an analogy. If you know somebody's going to kill somebody or possibly kill somebody in a building and you provide them the key, right? It's not their key. You give them the key. You say, oh, well, it's not for me to decide if this person kills the other person. Here's the possibility. They can have freedom of choice. So they turn the key and they go in. They're sinning by allowing them, facilitating them in sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is. If you facilitate, approve of, even just kind of give support for, you are participating in some level with that sin. In the same way, Paul the Apostle, Saul at the time, approved and participated with the murder of Stephen. And Paul and Saul at the time was not throwing the rocks. He was there consenting to it. He was guilty of that. Saul was a murderer. There are many. And if you look at the yes side, you know why they're so passionate? Yes, because they've gone over to England themselves, these people from Ireland, and killed their own children. They have done it themselves. And so, oh, I haven't done anything wrong. That's their starting basis from? Well, you don't know. You haven't experienced it. Well, what if I just go on the streets and just say, you know what? It's a bit dirty around here. There's some homeless people. I'm going to kill some homeless people. Well, so that's wrong. That's disgusting. Yeah, but, you know, it's good for the area. It'll help the local economy. It might attract better investments so people can have better lives. Isn't that would be reprehensible and disgusting. But we allow such disgusting, you know, people feeling sorry for, oh, people have to travel to another country to kill their child. Rather than saying, what hatred it must take. And I know there's pressure and I know there's compassion that we should have on these women as well and support them and say, come, do not kill your child. But at the same time, what it must take for you to go to another country in order to execute your child, your own flesh and blood, regardless of the reason, even if it's rape. I say, oh, it's disgusting. I don't punish the rapist. Does anybody talk about the death sentence for the rapist? No, the death sentence is for the baby. What did the baby do? And they're all supporting, they're all happy. Jeremy Corbyn, a terrorist support sympathizer, and pretty much open communist, leader of the Labour Party in the UK, says, great news that the Republic of Ireland has voted yes to repeal the 8th to support women's right to choose. Yeah, because he's very much leaning towards the right of a person to kill another person in order to attain... Socialism is inherently violent. Inherently. The ends justify the means. Oh, see, if you always do it. It always happens. Always happens. Now, I'm going to do a critique. I was, you know what, I was hoping to do this a week ago, but because of the technical problems and everything else like that, and we're going to look at this now, look at these reasons for removing the Eighth Amendment that this campaign, which was made up by, in this video, there's going to be the voice of Saoirse Ronan, Liam Cunningham, Killy Murphy, Aisling B, and many others, basically a bunch of, celebs, quote unquote, from Ireland, who do just want to pontificate over everybody else, and you know, because they're famous, yeah, they should know what they're talking about, right? Yeah, okay.
In Ireland today.
If the woman sitting next to you is pregnant.
Okay, if the woman sitting next to you is pregnant, praise the Lord, there is a pregnant woman and there's another person there.
She does not have full rights over her own body.
Okay. How exactly? Her own body? Again, basic biology 101. There's her body and there's, if she's pregnant, another person. The baby is not a cancerous cell. I hate, you know, sometimes they even have different blood types. They have unique DNA. They have their own heartbeat. Huh? Okay.
In Ireland today,
women who find themselves in crisis pregnancy.
How did they find themselves in crisis pregnancies? There are a tiny percentage of them that is no fault of their own. Seriously. Rape and things like that, okay? But the vast majority of it is promiscuous lifestyles. Sex outside of marriage and things like that. Nobody ever asks, why are there crisis pregnancies in so many of them? Oh, this happened back in Ireland. Yeah, I don't disagree. There was disgusting things that happened back in Ireland as well. And there's, you know, the stories and things that we told, you know, illicit relationships were happening between priests and nuns and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, okay. It doesn't make it right. I have no time for the papacy. I have no time for the Roman Catholic Church and her hypocrisy, disgusting evil, doesn't change it and doesn't make what you're saying even any better. Why is a crisis pregnancy? How about we ask that question? But you can't, because the do whatever you want philosophy has to be preempted. Do whatever you want. There's no problem with this. This is the fruit of Kinsey's revolution, the sexual revolution. And it's not unique to him either. There was things like this happening before as well. But I digress.
Be a scared 15-year-old has been sexually abused.
Okay. If there is a 15-year-old who's sexually abused, it is awful. It is horrible. It is, and that person should get counseling and as much help as possible. And I think, look, I like some of the stuff that Apologia does, you know, Apologia Radio, you got Jeff Durbin and all those kind of guys in the United States in front of the abortion mills. Some things that they do I don't like. Okay, I'll leave it at that. I mean, there's a lot of gimmicks in what they do. However, I think more churches should be doing what they're doing in front of Planned Parenthood, and is a very positive example, and also what they're doing in evangelism. Great, very positive. Go get out there, and that should be done. But there should be a way in biblical times, quote unquote, 2,000 years ago, there were people starving, and there were people. Generally, today, people have an abundance, and you know, in Ireland, for example, when people are begging, it's usually because they're drunk. They take that money and they use it on drugs or whatever. So it's often not the best thing. You know, often in the Western world, rather than giving somebody money, it's better off just to give them food. And they'll often refuse this, which is tragic, which kind of tells it. But we should be helping the poor and downtrodden as well. And we should reach out and try and help. Brethren, anybody on this island, on the island of Ireland, let us get together. Let's help people. Let's help women have their baby and give up their baby for adoption if they want to, or even keep their baby if they change their mind later on. Save lives. That's one thing that I really love and appreciate about the Apologia guys who were out in front of the Planned Parenthood. Don't start fights with police and all that. Be as respectful as possible. They may trample upon your rights. Let them. But just be all things to all men. Seriously. Let the gospel be predominant. But there's a great example that we can take from that. And I look at that and we say, we should be doing that. Honestly. It shouldn't just fall on them or some big organization that's... No. More need to preach the gospel. The most important thing is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Absolutely. But surely we should try, where possible, to save lives. The law may be changing, but we can offer and positively help people in whatever way, financial or whatever else. It's not just about money. Support, whatever, to have their baby. I want churches to think about that. What are we going to do? Are we going to complain about it? Or are we going to do something positive about this? Those mothers going in to kill their children, they're doing a wicked thing. But if, by God's grace, maybe they have some doubt, maybe they're not sure if they're doing the right thing, then a life can be saved. The downtrodden, you know, doesn't this just seem like what we should be doing? And give them the gospel. And have a way. Don't hand it over to the state completely. Now, I'm not saying you invite, you know, I can see none of the West, you know, like freeloaders and all this kind of stuff. But people, when they don't know who to turn to. And if they just talk to people or see an ultrasound of their child, a baby, a little baby can be saved. Of course, they need the gospel. They need to be born again. But Anyway, I hope people can understand what I'm talking about here. And that does not mean I say we copy every single example from the Polygay guys. There's a good example of what they're doing there. May more churches do that. By God's grace.
Or a terrified woman who's been raped.
Okay, again, less than 1%. Red herring. Horrible. Horrible case. I feel, agony for anybody who's gone through. I can't imagine it. What it is like. I will tell you this. Just because somebody did something unspeakable and disgusting to you does not mean you have the right to kill the child who results from that. Doesn't. Punish the rapist. Nobody wants to talk about that. You know what happens under this philosophy in the Model Penal Code that came from the United States? Rapists get a few years and get out. Yeah? Rapists get... Why don't they? Because people believe they can be rehabilitated, and it comes from this philosophy that's failed you. And I point that out to people, these rabid leftists, they don't want to know. They don't want to know.
Are forced to carry the pregnancy to term.
Forced. Forced. Not to carry the baby to term. Wow. Can you imagine if you said, I have children, and I said, I am forced to have to raise them and not kill them before they leave the house. Could you or should you ever use that kind of language towards your own children?
In Ireland today,
two women or girls are taking abortion pills
unsafely every day.
Yeah, that's terrible. Okay. Why does that make it right to allow it to happen? Murder, I'll give you an example. Murder, people are being raped. People get raped. It doesn't mean you legalize rape. Okay? Laws don't eliminate bad things from happening. The hearts of the nation needs to change. By the way, there is a function of the law that discourages against evil. So yes, of course, there should be a law against all and any type of murder. This is a redefinition of murder.
They risk so much
with no medical support.
But it's not medicine is supposed to heal, not kill.
The threat of up to 14 years in prison.
Now it talks about, you probably can't even hear it there that well. The threat, I don't know who this guy is actually, sorry, but the threat of up to 14 years in prison. I'm not aware of anybody who served up to 14 years in prison. No, so it says the threat. Okay. You've killed somebody. You've killed somebody. Yeah. It's serious. But people don't implement these laws. These laws are on the books, but nobody touches them. Isn't it horrible? If I kill my child, there's serious consequences.
In Ireland today, there are women carrying fetuses with fatal abnormalities.
Okay, what does that mean, fatal abnormalities? And it's a poorly defined term. Basically, it means they're in poor health. They may not live very long outside of the womb. They may. It's a very poorly defined term. But just say, right, I learned that one of my daughters has got 2 months to live. Just say, hypothetically. And they're going to be in really poor health maybe for the next 2 months. Does that mean I can go take a gun and shoot them in the head? I hope you say no. We do not have the right to execute somebody just because they're in poor health. And sometimes people live a lot longer. They might live for a year after that. They might live for 2 years after that. Or they might live for a few minutes after that. We don't have a right. We don't have the right to pay God and end human life.
With no chance of life.
No chance. No. They're alive right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to kill them. and end the pregnancy. No chance of life?
They have no option under the law.
Yes, they do. Under the law, they have the only option, which is don't, thou shalt not kill.
But to carry to term.
I mean, do you hate babies that much to carry to term? Yeah. What is so bad about that? Oh, you're not a woman. You don't know. What?
Ireland today. There are women and girls.
Whose health is on the line?
Yeah, so, okay. I was listening to this argument. It's like, oh, their health is on the line. Think about it, right? My daughters. Just say a truck is driving down the road. And it's either going to hit my daughter, who's dependent upon me, by the way. A little toddler, 3-year-old. One of them, the truck is going towards him. And I jump in front of them to save them. Surely every parent should do that. You put their lives first. It's called love. No, no, no. In this case, it's the opposite way around. Oh, no, they're endangering my life. Let's kill them. Every turn, selfishness is being repackaged as some kind of a moral virtue.
You are traveling abroad for abortions.
Yeah, it's despicable. They're traveling abroad to end the life of their children.
Who are scared and alone.
Look, I do feel there is a level of compassion we should have. Scared and alone. That's where I believe the church should be there. Preaching the word of God outside of the abortion mill. There's a sense of protest against the fact that in these places, babies are killed. But did you offer a way out for those women? So that they don't kill their own child.
This needs to change.
Okay. Yeah, it does need to change. No, no. Don't kill them in England. Kill them here. Use this logic. Your neighbors say, oh, well, you know, they're going to kill each other anyway. Hey, come over here and kill them. It's still wrong. Actually, it's worse. You're now participating in this crime.
This needs to change. This needs to change.
Why should anyone but me decide what should happen to my own body?
Killy Murphy there, who's not sure, but I'm not sure if he's confused. He can't get pregnant, but it's okay for him to have an opinion now because he agrees with the rabid feminist. I digress. What happens to my own body? Number one, it's not your own body. You are responsible to God. But even using that argument, it is ignorance of biology. A baby is not your body. By very definition, they have their own heartbeat, their own brain, and things like that. Spinal cord, everything. They are their own unique person.
My own body.
Yeah, Saoirse Ronan there, who's, what age she is now, probably like 20-something, 22, 23, something like that. Gotten really big in Hollywood at the moment, and has just looking at a few videos there, you know, supportive, you know, doing what Hollywood celebs normally do. Supporting abortion, supporting, because a lot of these people in entertainment, I'm not saying with her, but a lot of these people in entertainment, they have abortions themselves. They are so driven to succeed that when they do, I mean, Hollywood is so morally lax. If you know, with the whole revelations with the Harvey Weinstein and all this kind of stuff, and people were having, I don't want to go into details, obviously, you know, kind of a sexual relationships in order to get certain parts in movies and roles. That's common knowledge. Now, I don't know the full details. Don't want to know the full details. But my point is, the moral depravity, the disgusting culture that is in Hollywood today. yet they have no problem. Now, and what, look, it was commonly known among people with the whole Harvey Weinstein thing. They can come to us and give their, see, they say, oh, we're against religion. Progressivism is its own religion, and they put forward their own morals. And once they label something progressive and it happens, it's good. By definition, there's no debate. There's no, why is this good? Why is this bad? It's purely because it's been labeled progressive, so it is good. Ireland is so great now because it's progressive. How do you know that that's good? Why is that good? Because you could put a positive title on it.
On May the 25th, you'll be asked to vote on whether we should repeal the Eighth Amendment in our Constitution.
A yes vote is a vote for compassion.
Vote for compassion? How about the child who's going to be killed? That's not compassionate. And it's not compassionate to the woman either. I said, well, some of them don't regret it. That means their heart is getting hardened. I mean, how many, I mean, just because somebody doesn't regret a murder doesn't mean the murder therefore is okay.
For care.
For fairness and equality.
For fairness and equality, he says. For everyone except for the unborn baby.
For your sister.
For my sister, for my daughter. So therefore, I'm giving the thumbs up or I'm allowing or facilitating. So, sister has a baby, that is my niece or nephew. I'm okay with her killing my niece or nephew for your daughter. I'm okay with my daughter killing my grandson or granddaughter. Are you kidding me?
Daughter.
For your friend.
For your friend? As a real friend, I would say don't kill your unborn child.
For your niece.
For your... Don't kill your child.
For your girlfriend.
For your girlfriend? That's probably your baby. And you're okay with them killing your child. And again, why is your girlfriend pregnant? Sin. Sin has consequences in society. Fornication. It is... A fornicator will not inherit the kingdom of God. They are demonstrating by their life they do not love God and they do not keep his command. Not in a perfect way, but they do not love God. The fruit of that is obedience to God. Not in a perfect way, but they're new affections, new desires. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11 talks about that. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
For your granddaughter.
For your mother.
For your mother? Yeah, they tell that really sad story where, oh, by the way, I killed your brother or sister. Oh, I can't listen to any more of this. Okay. Then there's another video. I'm not even going to get onto it. 200 Cork doctors together for yes. Just going to play a little bit of this. What some doctors who should know better scientifically, what they're advocating.
I'll be voting yes on May 25th as a mom of two young girls, as a doctor, as a friend, and as a colleague.
Over the years, I've felt I have been letting down the many women I've come across with crisis pregnancies. This needs to change. I would like to provide proper health care for all my women who are pregnant, and particularly those with a crisis pregnancy, no matter what choice she ultimately makes. As a GP...
So death needs to be on the table, yes. One more video we're going to play, that's in the... And it kind of follows along in that unfortunate vein. This is a debate that took place last October, late 2017. This is on a program called The Late Late Show. And they're talking about the Eighth Amendment, and it just shows some of the typical... Anyway, let's play it. There's Fidelma Healy Ames and Kitty Holland talk about abortion and the Eighth Amendment. Let's just play this.
Well, obviously, I'm going to be voting to keep the Eighth Amendment. I mean, we have to remember what it is. It's the right to life for the unborn child and the mother in our Constitution. If that is repealed, then we are taking all legal protection away for the unborn child.
That's not true.
Now, let me finish here, please.
Okay.
So,
the person who's like, oh, that's not true, says the person who's having abortion, who had abortion, two abortions, actually. But we'll look at that in a second.
At the moment, in England, for example, there is no right to life for the unborn child. One in every five pregnancies ends in abortion. Last year, we had something like 200,000 lives.
It's misinformation. Why? Because this isn't about this. This is about a person's. Anyway, you know, that's kind of the way it's been, and it hasn't really been debates too much. If there has been a debate in which the Yes site has gotten destroyed, they call foul and don't like it at all. But then I digress.
Even in England, you know.
Can I bring up the fact that you've spoken very frankly about your own situation there? Could you share that with us? Do you mind sharing that with us?
No,
just, lays it out very clearly.
Might take a while.
No, but it's, yeah, sorry.
Okay, I've had two abortions. Yeah, I had one in my 20s, which I was fine about. I didn't regret it at all. I went to England.
And people see that as a good thing. Oh, you didn't regret it. Your son or daughter has been killed, and you have no problem with that. No qualms with that.
England, and had to go through that process of making the appointment and getting the counselling and paying for the flight and taking the time off work and telling people I was going to London for the week.
Oh, you know, and I just, it's always about them. I had to do this. How did you get pregnant in the first place? She doesn't talk about that here. But I digress.
The weekend and et cetera, and came home and I was fine about it. I had another one in my 30s, which I regretted deeply.
And you say, why? Why did you regret this one?
But I would still contend that despite the fact I regretted it, it was my decision to make. Mm. It was my mistake to make.
So we have to allow people mistakes, and the mistakes are people dead. Seriously?
And I regretted it in a way because part of why I regretted it was because I didn't have the time and space, I suppose, to really think about what I wanted. And there's that pressure cooker situation.
There it is, what I want. It's always there. What do I want? What do I want? We should be outside abortion clinics, wherever they are, whatever the thing is, appealing to mothers not to kill their child, be merciful and compassionate to their child, and help them in that, to make that right decision. And it shouldn't be about, what do you want? No, no, no. What is right? Do the right thing. Don't kill your baby. You're not ready to be a parent? Okay, give it up for abortion. Or not abortion. Adoption. Do not kill your child.
Situation in Ireland where you have to make a decision quickly, and I was under a lot of pressure and stress. I already had a daughter, and I was trying to do what was best for her and try to do what was best for me and do for my work and all the rest of it. And I made a decision because I just wanted the situation over. I wanted it over, and I just couldn't bear it. And I came back, and it was it was really difficult for about a year.
I appreciate your honesty on that tonight. No, really, that's not an easy thing to say on television.
But just like, it's not bravery. You killed your child. I don't know what more needs to be said. I'm going to quote here from John Calvin. He says, the fetus, though enclosed, he's commenting on Exodus 21 verses 22 to 23. The fetus, though enclosed in the womb of the mother, is already a human being, and it is a monstrous crime to rob it of life, which it has not yet begun to enjoy. If it seems more horrible to kill a man in his own house than in a field, because a man's house is his place of most secure refuge, it ought surely to be deemed more atrocious to destroy a fetus in the womb before it has come to light. It is the worst type of murder. Thomas Watson says, murder is a diabolical sin. It makes a man the devil's firstborn. For he was a murderer from the beginning. Yes, we should be compassionate. We should but there's consequences, and we should urge women to do the right thing. Let us, in some way, shape, or form, may the Christians across this island, rather than just complaining about it, do something positive that we can help the women who would otherwise kill their baby. Take another option. Give it up for adoption. Maybe they change their mind later on and just think about it and actually keep their baby or whatever. There's different options. But murder is not one of them. Please pray for this nation. It was one of the few good things that we were, compared to other nations, we weren't doing. What this is a blight upon a nation. Let us pray for the United States, let us pray for countries around the world that slaughter their unborn in the womb on the altar of convenience. It's been Paul Flynn. Talk to you again Tuesday.